missing things in our lives. Even when we were not aware that you were fixing them, we thank you. We ask you to continue to bless us and hold us in your hand. All this we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Since we know that God have fixed things, I'm not talking about any of y'all. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I wonder why do we try to go and make things right? When we know that God have fixed it, but yet we want to put our own hands in it. And then we normally mess it up. That fits with what our message is today, coming from the book of Jonah. The man that was swallowed up by a great fish. I was torn between two towels for this, and I don't know how this is going to go. I guess that's why I have been having butterflies all the morning. But Sister Jenkins, I know that God done fixed it. So you're going to get whatever God fixed it to be. I know what I got on here, and I know what I have up here. And it's all together. One of the subjects I have is Jonah is saved. The other one is wait. As we walk through life, many of us have had near-death experiences. A serious accident, a grave illness, a terminal disease, or a number of other health-related emergencies. In other words, some of us have been through some awesome things, but yet we survived. Some of us have even gone through robbery and assault. But whatever the life-threatening crisis may have been or may be, our only hope is to turn to the Lord and trust in Him. That's another one of them one-liners. I will trust in the Lord. And so we got to have those. The Lord will do one of three things for us when situations like this come upon us. One, He will save us from the imminent danger. He'll save us. Or He will walk with us or deliver us through the danger wherever it is. Have you ever been there? Didn't know how you were going to get out, but you were trusting God and wham, here I am. Or He will carry you above the danger or through the experiences of death, and then you will live eternally with Him. See, sometimes when some things come, you may have to get delivered by, going home to be with Him. I know most of you, if not all of you, are Bible scholars, and you remember that Jonah was fleeing from the Lord's call upon his life. And I know none of y'all probably have never been there. I know everything God have placed for you to do, you readily did it and was waiting on Him to tell you to do it. But some of us been just like Jonah. Jonah went and booked passage on a ship going in the other direction, away from where God has said for him to do. As he did this, then the Lord caused a great storm to come upon the sea, violent and turbulent, that the ship was about to be broken in two. But when you think you have escaped from God, all you have done is fixed it, so you will realize that God is in the business of saving you. And somewhere I read that one of those big words is omnipresent. Everywhere you go, God is already there. David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's everywhere. I know there are no Jonahs in here, but there just may be one in here somewhere. Or I know without a shadow of a doubt, there are a lot of used to be Jonahs in here. If you're not a Jonah now, you used to be one. And I know you are saved now and running over with the Holy Ghost, but we all have been there. Point number one, the Lord himself saved Jonah. It's right there in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah got in the ship to go away from where God had told him to go. After he booked passage, he went down in the ship and went to sleep down in the ship. Then the Lord sent a great storm to disturb the waters. And since God sent it, there had to be reasons why he would send a storm. Have you been on your ship? Sailing along and everything seemed to be going all right. Just as you think that everything is hunky-dory and you got the right job, you got the right finance and everything is in order, then a storm comes. Excuse my French, but somebody would say all hell broke loose. The storm of life comes, especially if you will get out of the will of God, the storm will come. That's what happened to Brother Jonah, going the wrong direction, away from God. Got down in the boat and went to sleep. Then God had him to cast lots and see who was causing the storm. And see, when you're a child of God, help me, Holy Ghost, and you get somewhere you don't have any business being, with a whole lot of people that not doing the will of God, they were talking to their God. Jonah's asleep, then they go down there where he is and wake him up and say, aren't you talking to your God? Why is this happening? And I don't know what Jonah told them, but somewhere I remember reading here where it said they knew that he was running away from his God. And then when they cast lots, the lots fell on him. Jonah said, take me and throw me overboard and the water will come. See, when you're a child of God, nobody else might not know when you are doing something out of the will of God. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. You know. That's why you look like you're out of place when you are wherever you are that you have no business being there because you're a child of God. You won't represent God while you are there. So why would you go? This is what happened to Jonah. He was out of place with some people he had no business being with because they were not children of God. And he wasn't strong enough to tell them what they needed to hear. So he told them, said, take me and throw me overboard. And they threw the man overboard. And when they threw him overboard, God had the fish to come along and eat the man. Yeah. How can a man go inside of a fish? I don't know. But the Bible says, I don't know how the sun got back over there. Because yesterday, the last time I saw it, it was heading in that direction. But God. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And I read some stories about that this week, but I can't recall all of them. Where in somewhere in England or somewhere, they found a man, some great whales were out there, and two ships got there, and they harpooned them, and one of the ships got wrecked, and they found everybody but one man. They harpooned the great fish, and the next day when they took the stuff out of the whale that they had harpooned, after they took the blubber and all out of them on the inside, they saw something moving around in there. It was the man that was missing was inside of the whale. And I know. If you're not a believer, bag it, you're crazy. I'm just crazy enough to believe it. Because the Bible says, and I believe it. If I don't believe it, God is not a liar. Because he created everything, and he can make it do what he needs for it to do. Jonah was swallowed up by the whale, the great fish. Some places call it a whale and others call it a great fish. And I asked myself this too, y'all, and I said, how is this possible? And I got an answer. I don't know. But God. The fish swallowed Jonah, the prophet of God. And I got stuck right there, y'all, and y'all have to excuse me. Some things I just don't understand. I just don't understand them, and I tell God about it, and he fixes it so I'll understand it by and by. Said, how can a prophet of God not want to do what God said for him to do? And I got an answer. You know what he told me? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and you will see another one. Because there are some things that God wants all of us to do that we have not done yet. That's why I got the word wait. I told somebody the other day, if you pray and pray sincerely from your heart, you're going to learn to wait. You're going to learn to wait on God. And Jonah was swallowed by the whale, and it didn't take long. Some of us fishermen, Deacon Jones, when we drop bait out, before the bait can get in the water, we want the fish to have it in his mouth. The Bible says that Jonah was, they threw him in the water and the fish swam by and Jonah was gone. Because of the turbulence of the water, he couldn't swim, because when water is rough and running, you can't do anything with it. That's one thing that man cannot control, and that's rushing water. Oh, you can dam it up, But then when it gets too much of it in there, that'll overflow too. God caused this turbulence because Jonah was doing something that God did not want him to do. And I just believe that God knew that he was going to have to teach a lesson to somebody else like you and me about this man. Scripture clearly states that God, the Lord, kept Jonah alive for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. In his stomach, that's where he was for 3 days and three nights. He kept him there. He couldn't get out. And I don't know whether he was conscious or unconscious, but the Bible says he was alive. But the power of the Lord, the same God who created the heaven and the earth, kept him alive. The Lord Jesus himself confirmed this account of Jonah's survival in the fish for 3 days and three nights. Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That's telling us that this is a true account that's written in the gospel, because Jesus said they were looking for a sign. They wanted him to do something great. And he was telling them the sign has already been given. And I will be just like that. This is what you call a type. This is a type of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. What we are celebrating here today, we're taking the communion. He said, as Jonah was, so shall the Son of Man be. In the earth, if Jesus said it, if you don't believe it, that's tough on your part. If Jesus said it, we need to believe it, because it's true. It's there. And so therefore, Jesus, God saved him because he had something for him to do. And you can run, but you sure can't hide. He'll find you wherever you are. And if this was in my sermon weight, it would be the W. Jonah is a witness for the Lord. Oh, you said, but Baggett, he's running. Sure, he's running. But you can't outrun God. He's a witness because he's telling us here today that you must do what thus saith the Lord, what the Lord places in your heart for you to do, that you must do. That's why he saved him. Point number two. The Lord heard Jonah's prayer and cry of repentance. That's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. On the ship with all the other people on there, Jonah did not pray. He did not talk to the Lord. The other men were talking to their God, praying to their God. Jonah did not pray to the God that created everything. He just told them he was a Hebrew and he was a servant of the Lord that created the heaven, the sea, and the earth. And that's what he told them about himself. But he did not pray and talk to God. You can talk about God and not be talking to God. When you talk to God, you are praying to him. Jonah did not pray in the ship. And that kind of got to me a little while. But then I forgot about Jonah. And I thought about me. When When you pray and talk to God, you need to know that you're talking to him and have something to say to him. To me, Jonah didn't have anything to say to God then because he knew he was out of order. That's why sometimes, and I always put my foot in my mouth, and it tastes good by now anyway. It's been in there enough. I think sometimes that's why some of us don't pray. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might talk about God. Praying is talking to God. And sometimes when you pray, you don't talk. You listen. And some of us are so busy talking, we got so much to say, we think that God ought to be listening to us all the time. No, you need to listen to him. You need to have, and was that the fourth Sunday I preached on a quiet time with God? You need to have some time when you just sit down and listen to God. God, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. And he'll have something to say to you. When you pray and talk to God, you need to have something to say. And you don't need to always go there with your hands. I need. Sometimes you ought to just go to him, just to be in his presence. That's why you can cry and pray and repent to this God. And Jonah, when they threw him in the water and the fish swallowed him, when you read it, that's when he started praying. Now, if you were to tell the truth, a lot of times we don't pray sincerely from our heart till we get in more trouble than we think we can get ourselves out of. I just believe Jonah realized that I'm in a bad place right now. And the last thing he remembered was being thrown in the sea. And the next thing, he was inside of something. He called it the pits of hell. When Jonah called when he needed help, when he was in distress, when he was as good as being dead. He's in the depth of the ocean. He was in the midst of a storm. And most of us, when we get in a storm, nobody else might not know you're in a storm today. You could be overcome with the waters of your storm today, right where you are now, in your finers that you have, but you are in the belly of the whale. And you can talk to God when nobody else seems to want to listen. God is saying, I'm here. Talk to me. Let me know. And Jonah talked to God while he was in the belly of the whale. He just talked to him. The sea engulfed him. Jonah repented. He felt as if he was cut off from God. Have you ever been there? Felt like God and mama and grandmama and nobody else love you? But some kind of way you got the unction to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And sometimes that's enough. You don't need a whole lot of flowery words when you're in trouble. You just need to cut to the chase and tell God all about it. Jonah did things, and they were not the things that a prophet should have done. But see, you and me, in all of our mess that we have been in, God, can still use you. He can take you and dress you up and fix you so he can get some use out of what you did that was wrong. Here we are today, better than 2,000 years later, talking about a man who God told him to do one thing and he did something else. And don't you look and frown at Jonah. If we knew everything about you, or if you knew everything about me, you have been those same places. But now you have turned like Jonah. You prayed a prayer of repentance. And God will hear your prayer. His actions was not as God would have had them to be, but God took the actions that he gave him and used them for the advancement of his kingdom. Jonah went the wrong direction, going the way he wanted to go. Most of us want things done our way. We like Burger King. We want it our way. However I want it, that's how I want it. But sometimes you got to do things the way God would have you to do them. God is a God of order, and he knows how he needs for things to be done. Jonah repented, and in the passage that we read, it said, I don't know how he knew, he said, but he was facing the temple. And to me, I believe that was in his spirit. He might not have been physically facing in the direction that Jerusalem was in, but to him, he was facing the temple. He was at a place where God could use him. Brothers and sisters, and that's what I stopped by to tell you today. You need to get yourself at a place where God can use you, where you forget about yourself and you trust in the Lord God Almighty. You say, God, here I am. Use me. I know I messed up. I know I went in the wrong direction, but take me and use me the way that you would have, what you would have me to do. This is what Jonah did. This is what I see when he said he was at the temple in the spirit. He was where God needed for him to be. And my question to you, are you where God can get some use out of you? Have you surrendered yourself? Have you repented of your sin? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sin? And you have allowed him to come into your life. We need to allow God into our life. Our action need to be there. And then again, the A in wait would be action, and the I would be investment. You got to invest something. If you don't invest something, you don't have any value in it. If you don't put some time into God, there's nothing that God would do for you on your job. You got to invest something in your life. You got to invest something in your home. You got to invest something. You got to put something in so you will have something at stake. I got something at stake in my life. I'm working, trying to get to heaven, doing what thus saith the Lord. I'm making an investment. If you don't make an investment, it doesn't mean anything to you. You don't have anything to lose. If you're buying a house and you don't ever make a payment on it, you can walk off and leave it and not think anything about it. But if you made 6 years of payments, you've made an investment in it. That's the way you need to be with God. You need to invest something with God. Jonah made an investment. He invested his time. He was already a prophet of God. That's why God called him and sent him to Nineveh. Jonah didn't like the people in Nineveh because he knew they were evil people. But I stop by to tell you, there are some Ninevehs in your life that you don't think anything of. But God got something for you to tell them. He sent Jonah to Nineveh to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And he went the other way. But God turned him around and sent him back to do just what he said. Why are you telling us that, Baggy? Those people that you don't like, that you can't stand to see them come in your direction, God got something for you to tell them. That's your Nineveh. You need to go to them and tell them what thus saith the Lord. Don't force it on them. Just tell them what thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And that's your investment. God can use where you've been and what you've done to help somebody else get to where they'll trust in God. There's somebody that's lost and on their way to hell because you haven't told them. If you tell them, they'll come. There's some people that you need to witness to. I may have witnessed to them. Somebody else may have witnessed to them, but they are waiting on you. You're the last person that could witness to them that they would believe, because they remember how sorry, how no good, how low down that you were. And if you could change, God can change them too. They just waiting on you. All of us got them in our lives, but you got to tell them that's your investment. You need to make an investment into somebody. That's what Brother Jonah is doing to us today. He's making an investment. Jonah received deliverance from the Lord, from the pits of the earth and death. I wrote a little word in here, and I put it in parentheses, and I asked myself, why? And I said, because he remembered the Lord. When you get at your worst end, you remember from where you come from. You forget about how high and polluted you are. This great job I have, this wonderful car that I drive, this neighborhood that I'm in. You remember what brought you, who got you out of where you were when nobody knew that you were there. God knew that you were there, and you remembered it. Jonah remembered what he needed to remember. Down in the belly of the whale, it said he cried. He cried out to God. When all else fails, call on God. When nobody else will listen to you, call on God. He will stop to see about you. And I'll tell you this, don't forget this, God is not surprised at where you are. He's been watching you all the time. He had his eyes on Jonah. That's why he didn't die, because God can use the scum of the barrel. He can use you. All you got to do is surrender. Listen. Jonah, God heard him because he prayed. He prayed. Prayer is the sincere desire of one's heart to a true and a living God. That's all it is. When your heart gets right, you can talk to God. When you forget about who you are and you think about who God is, you're nothing. All you are is dirt. The stuff you sweep out your house, the stuff you vacuum up off your carpet, that's all you're made of. And this God will think enough of you to save you. My last point. In the belly of the whale, God gave Jonah a new life. And I said, if this was weight, it would be the T. And it will be transformation. Have you been transformed? Have you been changed? Well, Jonah was changed. Oh, yeah, he was a prophet of God when he went in. But see, this tells me that doesn't matter how much you serve and how much you think you're serving God. God got something else that you can do that where you'll get closer to him. You can still sing in the choir. You can still be an usher on the door and get closer to God. Just because you're working in the house, it doesn't mean that you're all of that in a bag of chips. All you are a servant. Believers are nothing but servants of other people. Doulios, the Greek word, a bond servant. You're tied to something that you can't get away from. Transformation. Jonah was transformed. One writer said that he visualized Jonah as standing up at the ribs of that fish and couldn't get out. That's why he called them bars, because he was locked up in a pit and he couldn't get out. Have you ever been there? Been in situations that you didn't know whether you were going to get out or not? But you stayed in one position. And that was in the other one up there, verses 1 through 9, where it said Jonah prayed. I just do believe when Jonah found out to him, he realized where he was and he couldn't get out. I do believe he called on the God of Israel. God, I know that what I started out to do is not what you'd have me to do. Just give me one more chance. I know none of y'all been there, because the first time he called you, you got up and did just what he said and still doing it. You haven't changed. But some of us, he's had to talk to us more than one or two times, and we still might not be there. He might have to do it again, but we're going to stay with him. Jonah did not want to do what God had told him to do, because he knew the characteristics of the people that God was sending him to. And I'll tell you something. You might not believe this, but some of the people that you're going to need to witness to about this God, they don't care nothing about this God. But you got to tell them. You have to tell them. And because you take the chance on telling them, because some of them, when you go to tell them about this God, they won't curse you out. They'll cuss you. They'll cuss you out. Up one side and down the other. But you have to tell them anyhow. You have to tell them, because that's what God saved you for. So you can tell them. But you must tell them that because your life have been changed. I don't know the name of this, but one of them songs y'all sang says a change have come over me. That's what happened to brother Jonah. A change come over him. Yeah, but Pastor, you told me he was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet, but he still needed changing. And you may be a deacon, maybe a pastor, a preacher. Guess what? You still need changing. You still need changing, because God needs for us to get closer to him so we can be a greater witness to somebody else, to tell them about God's saving grace. Just because he had a title of prophet, it doesn't mean that everything he did was going to be right. You still are flesh. And if you always do what's right, you are judging yourself by yourself. You write your own rule book as you go along. If you go by this book, there's some things you're going to do is wrong. Probably done some of them today. Probably do some more before you go to sleep tonight. But because of this God that Jonah prayed to and he repented to, God is a forgiving God. If he wasn't a forgiving God, would none of us be in here today? Because he is a forgiving God. God will save you. But you have to surrender yourself to him and be willing to be transformed, change from the way you used to be. You cannot remain the same. You can't meet Jesus and stay the same. When you meet Jesus, he will change you. You cannot change him. He will change you. Well, Lord, I thank you for this. I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this message. And I thank you for helping me with it. So if I have to wait, I have to be a witness. Jonah was a witness for God. And he's witnessing yet today. And then he had to take action. The action he took to him was the wrong action. But it was the right action for God to get the results that he wanted to get. He did something. So many times, some of us now are afraid to do anything because we think we're doing wrong. Do it in the name of the Lord. And if you're wrong, God can take and use it and get good out of it. Look what he got out of the crucifixion. He got all y'all, all of us here. Look here. And there's some more here. And then the investment. And I thought about investment. I kept thinking about Christ. He made the greatest investment of all. In heaven, the Son of the true and the living God looked down at this filthy pig pen called earth, saw man wandering around lost, said, "Give me a body. I'll go down and redeem him." He invested something. What is there in your life that he wants you to invest? Other than you. There's some things that we have in our lives that we place higher than God. He wants you to make an investment with him. And then there's the T, the transformation. That's the change that will happen in you, that nobody will recognize you that used to know you. If some of your old friends could see you now, they probably would not recognize you, because you have changed, especially if they listen to you talk. They will see the changes in you because you have been transformed by allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell you. God saved Jonah. And when God saved Jonah, all the rest of us have to wait. We have to be a witness. We have to take actions. We have to do an investment. And we have to be transformed. If you pray, you're going to wait. If you pray, you're going to wait. My plea to you today is to take Jonah's name away from there and put your own name. Have you allowed God to save you? Have you allowed God to save you? With that, we'll extend an invitation. Will you stand? And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or this is not your church home and you'd like to make this your church home, this is your time.